A friend gave me a coffee mug several years ago. It says, "Nevertheless, she persisted." And it has the image of Rosie the Riveter on it. I like that mug. The saying, "Nevertheless, she persisted," goes back to the day that Elizabeth Warren was silenced on the Senate floor. Mitch McConnell said, "She was warned. She was told to be quiet. Nevertheless, she persisted." The gospel story today is not as puzzling as it seems at first glance. The Canaanite woman, though she is insulted and possibly bullied, persists in her plea for mercy. She shouts at Jesus, "Lord, have mercy," over and over again. "Lord, have mercy, Son of David, please." Now, if Jesus had no intention of healing foreigners, what was he doing here? In this place where there were only Canaanites and Phoenicians, historic enemies of Israel, Jesus was in Syria. There were no Jews there. Why did Jesus go there in the first place? Jesus, knowing his disciples' thought, knowing they are annoyed, and also knowing that they viewed this woman with contempt, is about to show them in dramatic fashion that their concept of Messiah and their ideas about God's mercy are far too narrow and small. Echoing his disciples' thoughts, Jesus finally engages the woman who is pleading for mercy. He says to her, in everyone's hearing, "No, Israel only, men only, whites only, mercy is only for my group." We can well hear the disciples joining in. "Yeah, get rid of her. She's annoying. She's not one of us." "That's exactly right," Jesus sarcastically says. "It would not be fair to give food intended for children to the dogs." Nevertheless, amazingly, the Canaanite woman persisted. "Even the dogs get the table scraps," she says. What a clever response from her. And here is the dramatic shift, not only for her benefit, but perhaps even more for the benefit of the disciples who witnessed this. Guess what? There is enough mercy to go around. And to the amazement of all, Jesus' mission is not just to the lost sheep of Israel. Much like his Father's love, it is for each and every one. Then he instantly gives her what she wants. The disciples are notably silent at this point. Throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus consistently responds to the real needs of the individuals he encounters. All people, lepers, sinners, foreigners, those who are unclean. After all, human need is human need. Later in this Gospel, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Wait, are we supposed to do the same? Show mercy to whoever it is, to anyone? In that story, it's a Jew lying helpless in the ditch with a Samaritan coming to his aid. Why didn't Jesus tell the story the other way around? It seems the listeners would have been delighted to have the hero of the story be a fellow Jew. Why did Jesus make the Samaritan the hero? Likewise, it is in Matthew. We hear the story of the sheep and the goats. When Jesus says, "When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was naked and imprisoned and homeless, you helped me." And they said, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or imprisoned?" And Jesus replied, "I'm sure you know. Whatever you did for the least of these, you did unto me." Now, it is also interesting that this story of the Canaanite mother pleading not for herself but for her daughter is coupled with the first part of the gospel about what is clean and what is unclean, what it is that defiles a person. This could not be more timely. What comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. The evil in our heart is what defiles us. Back in the 90s, if you are as old as I am, many of us in our workplace went through diversity training. Some of us still do. And perhaps you learned that all of us are racist to some degree. Some of this training has improved over the years, but somewhere we began to talk about being politically correct, and later we called it woke. In this way, being politically correct began to take on a negative connotation, or as if being woke were somehow dishonest. A friend of mine in seminary gave me permission to tell this story of how she, an African-American girl growing up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was given an opportunity to go to a prestigious private Catholic school on scholarship. There was no way her family could afford it. When she got there, she was woefully behind the other students her age. But the nuns, white women all, believed in her, encouraged her, tutored her, and spent long hours helping her catch up. And Carly looked me in the eye and asked, "Were those nuns just being politically correct? There's nothing political about that." Carly experienced this as purely motivated by the love of Jesus. Today, Carly is the Episcopal Bishop of New Jersey. She's never forgotten the mercy of the nuns. So I think we should take those words, politically correct and woke, out of our vocabulary starting today. And let's use the old words, words like kindness and justice and mercy, and strive with all our being to be a decent human being who makes a strong and consistent effort not to offend our brothers and sisters who look different from us or who grew up in different circumstances. To persistently lean into the gospel mandate of being merciful and honor our God, whose property is always to have mercy. And ourselves engage in the ever-broadening, ever-expanding, breathtaking mission of Jesus our Lord. For just as the old hymn says, there is a wideness to God's mercy. That old, old hymn says, for the love of God is broader than the measure of the mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more faithful, we should take him at his word, and our life would be thanksgiving for the goodness of the Lord.